Well, good morning and welcome to worship. And it's unusual this morning because our visitors know more about the visitors that are in the congregation than I do. So I'm going to hand over my job now to Mark. But if you are visiting us today, it's lovely to see you, and we trust that you will enjoy your worship with us. Following our worship, you can come along into the community hall where tea and coffee is provided, an opportunity to have a chat. Just after 12 o'clock, the band will be on the triangle for an open air. And again, you're invited to come along and sing with us there. This afternoon, between 3 and 5, for young people, there's a praise party. But if you're a little older and you come along, I don't think anybody's going to tell you to go home. So 3 o'clock, the praise party. For those who are on the advisory team, there's a meeting with the divisional commander, 7:30 on Tuesday. Friday night, there's a movie night for all the family at 6 o'clock. And then dads can get messy on Saturday morning between 10 and 12 for dads and kids only. It's for us only, not for you ladies. And we can get as messy as we like. And then Gemma will clear up after us. Next Sunday evening, we'll be having a special big collection meeting where we'll be showing some videos of where the money we collect goes to. So I invite you to come along. That's for next Sunday evening. But there's no evening meeting, of course, today. The Night Shelter girls, well, the girls of the night, whichever way you want to call them, okay, are very much part of our fellowship, and they run the night shelter and other things, and of course they belong to us. And we always like to support them as a church. And sadly this week their office was broken into and lots of their filing cabinets were damaged, and some phones that they were given have been stolen, and so they're having to move out, I think, for a little while. And so what do we do? In that situation, we as a church, we help them. On the way out, now I know you haven't brought your checkbooks with you, but you can bring them in during the week. But as you go out this morning, you'll see a table and it has a collecting box on it. If you put your hand in your pocket, then whatever comes out, well, if it's money, put it in the box. And we want to support them as much as we can. So please, I hope and trust you will do your best for that. And now it's for me to introduce our special guests for today. And they have a totally different life to what we have. And we're going to see a little bit about it in our meeting this morning. But would you please welcome Captains Mark and Emma Scott.
Well, thanks, John, for that. I'm not sure what you mean by a different life. I feel like I need to have something a bit extravagant to say now. But it's really great to be with you this morning. And what a beautiful way to start our service this morning with those words from the songsters. I will worship him. And really, that's what we're here to do, right? We're here to recognise our God. We're here to recognise the creator of the earth. And so we're going to start with some words from Psalm 34. And I love this theme that you've been following over the summer, this holy habits, looking at biblical teaching. What does it mean to have those holy habits? And so through this morning, we're going to be talking to you a little bit about what we do in Mitcham. We're Salvation Army officers. We have been for 11 years, and we've been in Mitcham for the last 8. And as we go through this morning, we're hoping that a bit of our story might enable you to understand something of the holy habit of hospitality. We're going to be looking at scripture. We're going to be looking at what this means for those of us living out this God-loving life and what that means for ourselves and the interactions with the people that we have. But first, these words from Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. And then the words I want us to remember this morning. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Do you know, we use this verse a lot in our interactions with people. And for the last probably 5 or 6 years, I've taken it as a bit of a challenge as well. That the Lord stands before us and he says, give me a go. There's all these options in front of us these days. And the Lord stands in front of us and says, if you just try me, if you give me a go, you will see that I am good. You will see that you can take refuge in who I am. And so we're going to stand together and we're going to sing, I worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You might recognise there's lots of beauty, lots of faces glorifying this morning. So as we sing this morning, let's stand, let our faces reflect the words that we're singing as we sing to our God. Thanks, John.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord, our God, our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. Let's come together and we'll sing these songs straight through. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not fade. You won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
So we may look a little bit weary this morning, those of us that are from our Mitcham Scott household. And that's partly because this is a bit early for us on a Sunday morning. You see, in Mitcham, we don't generally meet until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. In fact, 3 o'clock's a little bit early, and often it's closer to four. And if people are there on time, then it's half past four. So it's all a little bit ish times in Mitcham. That's how we kind of talk about it. And last night, when we told our girls that we needed to leave the house at 20 past nine, their reaction was, why? Why would you do that on a Sunday morning? And I don't really know how we ended up meeting in the afternoon, except 8 years ago, well, probably 7.5 years ago, when we first started gathering for kind of more formal worship, the majority of people that were gathering with us were people that didn't like Sunday mornings and had disengaged with church predominantly because they'd been out on a Saturday night and they didn't want to get up on a Sunday morning. And so it became apparent that maybe an afternoon would be a little bit of a better time for those that were engaging with us.
Help me with the table.
So in Mitcham, we have a big thing about tables. And we're going to tell you a little bit, as we put together this table, it's hard to do it one-handed, by the way, we are going to lay the table, and as we do so, tell you a little bit about why we might do that.
So in Mitcham, I'm always moving tables. I've got good arms because of it. We're always moving things around. We don't have a building, although we're about to get one that we can use in September for the first time, so that's quite exciting. So we're used to moving things around. We're used to setting tables. And one of the things about having a table was that before we even arrived in Mitcham, God gave us a picture of a table. Have you ever had a picture from God? Yeah? Some people have, maybe. Well, we had a really strong picture from God that we were to be using tables and sitting around tables. And it's not insignificant that this is a round table. Why is a round table important? There's no head, is there? Nobody's more important than anybody else. And that was very much part of the picture that God gave us about meeting in a with a table.
And we thought, well, maybe there's something, if this picture is from God, and God has told us that people are going to encounter him through sitting around a table with us, we thought we should probably do a little bit of research into maybe what Scripture says about the table. And it intrigued us, really, about what this picture of a round table, it was a very clear picture, which hasn't often happened for me. It was a very clear picture of a round table and people sitting around it. And a couple of weeks later, we were in conversation with a friend of ours who is Jewish by birth, and she was telling us about this concept of Shabbat, which the Jewish faith follow. And it happens on the Friday night before the Saturday. I'm getting some thumbs up over here, this is good. If I get it wrong, can you tell me at the end rather than now, because it might throw me a bit. on a Friday night before the Sabbath on the Saturday, they have a meal of thanks. And there's a challenge for all families that they invite people to be part of their Shabbat table. So it's not just about gathering together as a family, although that's important. The emphasis is also on inviting others to be part of this table of thanks. And the more we looked into that, we realized that actually for the Jewish faith, when you invite somebody to be part of your table, you're not just inviting them for a nice dinner party with some candles. Simon got us the fancy knives and forks today, by the way. But it's not about that. It's about sharing our lives with other people. When a Jewish family invite you to be part of a meal, they're actually saying, we want you to be part of our family. We want you to be part of our life.
Do you remember that table that we had when we first met Mitch?
Oh, it's a bit of an eyesore.
She was probably a bit little.
Lily, do you remember the table that we had when we first met Mitchum? If you've seen the Scott family, apart from Simon probably, I don't know what happened to him. We're of a particular kind of stature, aren't we? Yeah? This table, when we went to sit at it, we were kind of trying to eat up here. Not ideal, okay? It was like a huge, great banqueting table, which is great in terms of the number of people you could get around it. Not great for the Scott family trying to sit at it and eat their breakfast. So we thought we're going to have to change this. This isn't the table that we had in our picture when we had that picture from God.
And it was a rectangle.
Not ideal. Anyway, so we happened to be visiting Mum and Dad back in Ipswich at the time. And Mum was like, oh, we're getting some new furniture. What do you know about Freecycle? We're like, why do you want to know about Freecycle? Well, we're getting rid of the table. We're like, oh, hang on. This table has been in our family. Wedding present, wasn't it, Mum? Wedding present. So Simon and I, if you look at it carefully, you'll probably see bits of our handwriting on it. You'll definitely see remnants of the mushy peas that I used to hide under the table. No, clearly Mum would have cleared that up. But this table has been part of our family for a long time. And we were like, do you know what? It's a round table. This is the picture that we had from God. So we said, okay, here's our conundrum. How do we get this table back from Ipswich all the way back to Mitcham in London? And anyway, we got a van, we managed to do it. I won't tell you how difficult it was to get it into the house when we got to London. But this table is now central to what we do in Mitcham. We had it out all the time, people gathered around it. And when we moved house to another house in Mitcham last summer. And now we can have the table out in the extended version so we can get more people around our table at once.
And there was this beautiful image last summer. So we moved at the end of July. And church gathers in our house still, even 8 years on, twice a month. And we moved on the Thursday, very Salvation Army day for moving. And on the Sunday, we had our first gathering around our table in our new house. And there's a lady who's part of our community and part of our gathering, who's never been to church until she came to Mitcham Salvation Army. And she sat round the table and she said, well, we need to invite a few more people now, don't we? And it was this beautiful image of a fulfillment of the picture that God had given us. Because you see, I'm not sure 8 years ago, I'm not sure even now, we get it. I don't quite know how it works that when we invite people to be part of our lives and gather around our table with us, they encounter Jesus and they want to start on that journey with him. I can't give you a 10 bullet point way of how that works, but it does. And God uses that and enables us to do more. You see, actually, it's not about the table. I love the fact it's our family table, but actually that's not what it's about. It is just a piece of wood that could have just gone on Freecycle and people would have been none the wiser. But it's the symbol that when we invite people to gather around that table with us, we're saying, come and be part of our lives. The Scott family isn't always chilled out, hey, as they. It can be a little bit chaotic. It can be very loud in our house. So it's not inviting them to be part of the picture of what we think our family should look like. It's inviting them to be part of our family, warts and all.
And we talk about sharing life around the table. In that first songbook song, it talked about joy and mourning in the same day. And I'm sure we've all experienced that, haven't we? Life gives us ups and downs. One minute we're really joyful, next minute then we're not quite so high. If you were at Portman Road yesterday, you would understand what I'm talking about. But that is life, isn't it? Now, God wants to be involved in the joys and the sorrows. And when we sit around our table, and it is around the table, we share life together. And we do laugh, and we do cry sometimes. But it's about being there, one another, together, interacting with each other, and bringing God's love into that place.
So we're going to tell you some stories of some of the people. Mitcham Salvation Army doesn't look the same every Sunday or every day during the week. We do different things at different times. But we have people who make certain tables a priority in their monthly kind of life. And so we're going to tell you about some of the people that sit around our tables. We're going to tell you their stories. Because again, it's not just about what we bring to them. It's about what they bring to the table. This idea of equality, this idea of equity. We're there together. We're there to share life together. And so that means that they bring something as well as receive something. Esme, do you want to come do yours first? The other thing that's a big part of our church is that twice a month we all stay together. So we don't have children's and adults things. It's all about being together. So we thought we'd include some of our children today as well.
So my friend Nathan moved to Mitcham with his family to be part of our church community. Nathan brings laughter and joy to our church, which makes it merrier. The children of our church are so spiritual and collaborative. They're better than the adults.
Well done.
So this plate represents Sarah. And we met Sarah through helping her out originally with some food and some top-up electric. She was in a bit of trouble at the time. And many times, this is not unusual for us. We support a lot of people like that in our community. And that's often the way that we get to meet people for the first time. But that wasn't the end of the story. And Sarah later contacted Emma, and she became one of our neighbours where we lived. And she wanted to know more about God. And because we'd had that relationship and that interaction for her initially, we started to talk, she worked out who we were, and then she started to have this conversation. Sarah's got two children, and like I say, she became a neighbour of ours, and we used to spend a bit more time with her. And eventually, Emma was able to meet up with her regularly and to have a Bible reading sort of exploration with her. What does Sarah bring to our table? She brings an inquisitive mind. She brings somebody who's really exploring for God. She's had a church background years ago, but it wasn't always positive. But she's still searching, and she brings that, and she wants to hear from God. She also wants her children to know about God, and so being with other people, with other children, is helpful.
So we've known Doris for about 6 years, and it was after she attended an exercise class which happened at a community centre we were running a coffee morning out. And my very first interaction with Doris went like this. Well, I know the Salvation Army are Christians and I'm never going to church. So I said, all right, do you want a cup of tea? And Doris and I started a bit of a relationship, and I love Doris. Doris is a bit of a staunch feminist, as it has been said I am at times. And so Doris and I had a lot to talk about and a lot to kind of say. Doris was adamant she would never come to our church. And we were fine with that because actually, do you know what? Gathering around our table and inviting people to be part of our lives doesn't come with a caveat. For so long, if you don't become a Christian, then you've got to leave. It doesn't work like that. We invite people to be part of our lives and to journey with us and for us to journey with them. And over the years, Doris was part of our community choir and became a regular at our coffee morning, and then started coming to church. Isn't that funny? On a Sunday. And first Sunday, we have something called a shared church meal, and Doris was actually kind of quite pivotal in shared church meal happening and inviting people to be part of that. Shared church meal is probably our largest gathering of the month, and it happens on the first Sunday, and we run that in a community centre. And it's a time where we can just be together. It pretty much says what it does on the tin. We share food and we talk about Jesus. That's kind of the main crux of it. Last summer, when we were moving, we were a little bit unsure as to where we would be holding church. And so there was one Sunday we thought we were going to have to cancel. And Doris said, well, you can have it at my house. And so from a lady who was never going to go to church, she actually hosted church in her house last summer. Doris brings being a grandma to our church, and in fact there are other people who sit around our table who call her Grandma Doris. She's incredibly inclusive and interested in others, and we genuinely love her, and she genuinely loves us.
This is Mitcham totally, working on the fly all the time, things changing every second. So, Julie runs the local adventure playground, And I'm not quite sure if it's the children or the adults that are most excited about going there. But this is the place where we have our shared church meal, the first Sunday of the month. And we also have a coffee morning there every Thursday. And Julie and her staff have been really, really accommodating to us. When we turn up and want to kind of put an event on, she's the first person to give us a hand putting things up. At the end of the day, when we've got all of those bags of things that really we don't want to take home and fill our house up, she's like, oh, I'll use the storeroom, that's fine. Without Julie and her team, Mitcham Salvation Army wouldn't be the place that it is. And having somebody like that in our community willing to really help us, this is a council-run service where apparently they don't have any faith-based activities, but she's really backing us up because she sees what's going on through us and the way that it's impacting people around us.
When Tiva retired, she wanted to give some of her time volunteering. She approached the Salvation Army and offered her skills to help any way we felt useful. She has volunteered in our community cafe ever since and has added to the diversity in our menu by cooking pakoras and other specialities from her home culture, Bangladesh, which have become favourites with the customers. Tiva brings her time, energy, cooking skills and abilities, especially in connecting with customers and showing interest in their lives. She is a valuable team member and teaches us much about loving people.
And Tiva definitely has done that. She's shown us love as a family in a way that we've never encountered before. Tiva's actually goes to the local mosque. She's a Muslim. And there are so many moments in our community's lives that are difficult. And Tiva is the first to say we need to pray about this. Tiva is the first to remind us sometimes that if we taste and see, the Lord is good. And so there's this beautiful understanding of who our Heavenly Father is that we are learning. And one of the biggest lessons Mark and I have learned in the last 8 years is that when we choose to share our life with other people, God has far more to show us than we could ever give to anybody else. The band are going to give us their worship item just now, after which we'll take up the offering.
Thank you.
But it's encouraging and inspiring to hear what is happening at Mitcham, where people are finding you as their saviour. We're so glad also that lately that we have felt your spirit very much within our church here. But we realise there are people out there in Felixstowe who still do not know you. And it is our opportunity and our work to get the message to them. So this morning, as we have given in our offering, I ask you to bless it and help us to use it wisely here in our town for your kingdom's sake. Amen. Amen.
Your Bibles, and you'd like to turn to Romans chapter 12. We're going to be reading from verse 9.
Don't pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what's wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honouring others, each other. Never be lazy and work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think who you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things such a way that everyone can see you are honourable. Do all that you can live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good.
Don't just pretend to love one another, but really love one another. Do you know, it sounds so simple, doesn't it? Do you know, when you live with people, maybe you're sitting next to the people that you live with, how easy is it to really love them? When we're tired, when we've had a really bad day, who is it that it becomes a little bit more difficult to really love and to really show them that compassion within our lives? And so we've learned, it sounds really pretty, it sounds really lovely when I talk about setting this table and what the people bring to our table. Do you know, living your life with people, we all know, isn't easy. Because not only do they see it when I'm being an amazing mum and I've got loads of craft activities and everyone's covered in paint and having a great time, they also see me when I'm shouting at them to put everything away because we've got people coming round in 5 minutes. When we choose to not just pretend to love one another, but really love them, then we're choosing for them to see every part of our lives and us theirs. Mitcham Salvation Army is part of something called the Fresh Expressions Movement. And sometimes it can be a little bit difficult to explain who we are and what we do. But it's really kind of, as church growth has done this over the centuries, there have been different points where new things have occurred and new things have encountered. So back in the kind of 90s, late 80s, 90s, it was all about church growth. And it was about, if you do X, Y, and Z, then you'll get 25,000 people through your door. Not quite, that was a little bit of cynicism, I apologise. But now, this idea of the Fresh Expression Movement, this idea where people are seeing people living lives differently, and through that they're encountering something of Jesus. But it can be quite difficult to explain. And we found this video from an organisation called Church From Scratch, which kind of explains, I think, about who we are in Mitcham and what we're trying to do. Thanks, Ewan.
This is a story about common folk. There were lots of folk, and then Jesus came, and that was good. And the result was church, people together, and that was good. No one quite knows where the wall came from, and that wasn't so good. Some people tried to shelter behind the wall. Some tried to make it taller. Then one day, they decided to build a tower to see over the wall and saw that things on the other side of the wall were a bit iffy in their eyes, and they wanted to help them. They thought, put a door in the wall, a glass door even, and invited them to come. But they didn't. So one went out, home to home, knocking on doors, inviting them to come, but that didn't really help. Then a group got together, went out, had a barbecue, grabbed one, pulled her back, and that was good and bad. Then, one day, one of them went out. A long way out, actually a very long way out, and he stayed out. His friends invited him to talk about what he was interested in. He talked about God. And the result was like church. And that was good. And it grew. And there was a rule. An important rule in this new kind of church. And this was it. No more walls.
A lot of truth in there as well. And the thing about walls is, we build walls to protect ourselves, don't we? They can shelter us, as it said in the video, but they can also block us from seeing what's out there. And when we're behind the wall all the time, we start to get all these preconceived ideas about what it's like on the other side, and it's a bit iffy, isn't it, as the video said. We don't know what it's like out there unless we go out there. And we have to go out there, and out there a long way. And interestingly enough, if you talk to people in our area, they might say that Mitcham's a bit out there, a bit iffy. Actually, we say that Mitcham is marvellous. And we want to talk it up on every single occasion that we are, because the people that we've met there, by going out there and living out there, have changed our lives. We might have affected them a bit, but they've transformed our lives. And God has been in that. And you can't help, when God is changing your life, to share that with people. Not in some big grand way. Often just sitting around a table, over a meal, having a chat with a cup of tea. And suddenly, things start to change. And we're still surprised. We shouldn't be. But we're still surprised at how this works and how God is changing people's lives. So, when I talk to you about the word table, who's going to shout out? I need some interaction. I'm used to people heckling me and saying, oh, I don't agree with that. Or, what are you on about? You're being very, very polite. Thank you. But when I talk about a table, what are the images that are conjured up in your mind? Shout them out. Food, yes. Always. Playing games. Brilliant. Okay. Talking with each other. Yeah. Family. Brilliant. Homework, yeah. Conflict, often. Resolution of conflict sometimes as well, hopefully. But a place where you can have conflict. Because we bury conflict sometimes, and that doesn't really help, does it? Anything else? Well, I think you've got all of the ones that I had written down here, just about. What have I got? Learning to write, playing board games with family members, sharing laughter or tears, connecting with other people. And the fact is that, you know, around these tables we do all these things. It's really strange, isn't it? In modern life, if you're interested in kind of housing design, houses aren't designed for tables these days. Maybe that's changing. Maybe we're in a different place. How many more houses these days have bigger open plan kitchens and areas that flow? Don't you know it? Flow, whatever that means. Normally it's running after the kids, not flowing. But it's about being able to spend time with other people, isn't it? I know when we grew up, the house that Mum and Dad had a fairly small kitchen, and one of the things that they did was they enlarged the kitchen. And it wasn't just about preparing food, it was about spending time with each other in that place. And I think all of what we do in Mitcham is about building relationships with people. It's about spending time with people, getting to know people. But when we're doing that, we're often using language, aren't we? So the word table conjured up different images for different people around the room. And it is fascinating, isn't it, that the word table could be viewed as a functional piece of plastic or wood, which nobody actually said, which I'm impressed about. Or it could be a really important place where you share stories, where you share life, where you build relationships, where you enter into the stories of the people around that table. Stories of the past. I'm sure we've heard of the good old days, whatever they were. But we've also heard about stories of now. And maybe we've dreamt a little bit about stories of the future as well. It seems to me that when we use language, actually what changes language from being just words is experience. Would you agree? When you experience sitting around a table, suddenly it does become about these more difficult things to explain, these connections that we have with other people, rather than being about what kind of wood it's made out of and the shape that it is and how high it is, all of those things. And maybe our experience of the Bible is a little bit like that, because the Bible could just be a bunch of words, couldn't it? Actually, it's a bunch of words that were written for an ancient group of people on the other side of the earth, initially. But when you get to scratch under the surface, when you try to understand what it's about, suddenly we talk about the Bible coming alive, don't we? We talk about the Word of God being a living Word of God. It's not something dusty that's on a shelf that, you know, when you try to read it, you're just reading words. Actually, we're connecting with these stories. We're connecting with the people and their lives in that place. And we're trying to understand how those stories and those lives impact our lives in Felixstowe today. The passage that Esme read to us earlier was written by Paul to a group of Christians in Rome. And often the New Testament letters were written to Christians who came from a Jewish background. However, this one was written to two different groups of Christians. It was written to Christians from a Jewish background, but it was also written to the Gentile Christians, or the Christians that weren't from the Jewish background. And these Gentile Christians didn't necessarily always understand the way to do things in the eyes of the Jewish Christians, the traditions that they held. And it's in this context that we heard these words. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly or sisterly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Now, these are quite powerful words in themselves, but when you start to understand the context of this, and you understand that these two different groups weren't getting on with one another, suddenly there's a new depth of understanding, isn't there? It means something different. It's not just a bunch of words anymore. There's some experience and something for us to learn there. The thing about when you read the Bible is you have to be super careful about just taking bits out of it. Yeah? Too many people do that. There's been a lot of damage done by people picking little bits out and saying, this is what the Bible says. So we have to be careful and we have to understand the context and what's written around it. And that actually means when we read some of these stories, we need to know where they're placed in the Bible themselves. So if you look at the previous three chapters to this story in the book of Romans, God has been talking and reminding these Jewish Christians about Israel, the nation of Israel, their past, their stories, and the fact that Jesus was realizing God's love at that present point. Remember, not all of the Jewish people saw Jesus as the Messiah. If we look at chapter 9 and verse 8, it says, it's not the natural descendants of Abraham who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. The God story of love is for all creation. It was certainly, when he was saying this letter, for those two groups, But it goes well beyond that, doesn't it? It goes to everybody that's been created by God. At that point, the Jewish Christians really thought that they'd got it all sorted. They knew how they did church. This is the way. Actually, the Gentile Christians probably felt something quite similar. They felt they knew how they were doing it too. But they didn't always match up. And what Paul is doing here, he's reminding them that Jesus and his teachers actually connect people. They bring people together. They shouldn't be about building walls. They shouldn't be about splitting people apart. It's about gathering together. And therefore, the way that you share and you interact around the table is really important. It matters to the people around the table. It matters to the wider church. It matters to the people that are looking in. Don't forget that people are looking at the church and wondering what's going on there these days. There's more people out there than there is in here now. And we have to understand that, and we have to accept that, don't we? So we need to understand the way that we live our lives really makes a difference to the way that people understand God's message. Paul turns to everybody and he says, because you are living this truth, you need to renew your mind. And he also goes on to say, just as each one of us has a body with many parts, and these parts do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. When you come and sit at our table, as Emma mentioned, you become part of our family. That means you have to clear up as well, by the way. It doesn't always work. But you're part of the family, and therefore we care for each other. But when you look around, and we mentioned just four or five people around that table this morning, they're all different, but they all bring something to the table. And we have to have that attitude that everybody can bring something to the table. Everybody is God's creation. Everybody has something to contribute. And we're not there, as the Bible reading said, to judge what that contribution is. Because God has created them, and everybody should be welcome at the table. What might these words then mean to us in our day-to-day experiences today? Do we always feel part of the whole body? I'm going to leave these questions hanging for you to think about. Those of you that are in leadership, those of us that are in leadership, have we enabled other people to flourish as part of God's creation? Are we actively encouraging them? And saying to them, I can see in you what God is giving you. Please come and contribute to our table. The Bible, as you look through your holy habits, is always challenging us. It's comforting us, yes. But it's challenging us too. So we've mentioned, we landed in Mitcham 8 years ago. Salvation Army disappeared 1940 something, we think, from Mitcham. So we had a bit of a unique situation that we had the older members of the community remembering some of the good things of the Salvation Army, but kind of the rest of that time, we didn't have any of the baggage that sometimes churches have when things have gone wrong. So we landed in a really fertile place. A lot of goodwill for the Salvation Army. And the first thing that we did was we were sat down and we listened to people. Two ears and one mouth, remember that? Lots of listening going on. And what that's meant is that our Salvation Army expression looks slightly different to other Salvation Army expressions. I do wonder sometimes if William Booth was to land in the 21st century what the Salvation Army would look like. A lot of it would be there because our values and our DNA and our ethos are all the same. But the way that we express our things may look slightly different. Not totally different, but some of it might look different. One of the main things, I think, though, is that we would take the Bible seriously, and I'm hoping that's the case for all Salvation Army and other churches as well. And Romans 12 is a reading that we take really seriously in Mitcham. We talk about tables an awful lot. It's a picture that people can understand. It's a picture that most people have a table in their house. Most, not all. Not all of our neighbours have a table, and that has been problematic for them to kind of grapple with. But most people understand at least what a table is. And I think part of it is that tables aren't just present in our homes. So we meet in our home at the moment for 2 or 3 Sundays of the month, because that's practical as it is. But for some people, to invite people into their homes is difficult. But they might meet at another table in a cafe or in the library or all these other places. Tables are all around us. And Romans 12, for us, really challenges us in how we consider living our lives in community. And the honesty that has to be displayed there. Emma kind of alluded to the fact that people do see us on our good days. They see us on our bad days as well. And it's not a case of opening the door and, have you seen that new Apple advert with the headphones? Just come to mind. Where the guy at the very beginning, have you watched him? He does this. Yeah? He puts his face on. You'll see it now on the TV. Very first thing he does, he's grumpy, and then he goes, we can't do that. That's not right. We could do that, but we wouldn't be being honest. So we've had conversations with people who have come to church and have been in a right foul mood. And we've allowed them to be in that place. And you know what? They've come back because they're allowed to be who they are at that time in that place, and they're still loved. And I think a lot of society is very, very good at putting that face on. How are you today? Oh, I'm fine. What does fine mean, honestly? Are you really fine? If you're not, don't worry about it. Say no. If you are, great. Say no, I'm really good. I've had a great week. Fine's a bit wishy-washy, isn't it? The power of Christians sharing life together and the words that the Bible say, when you put those together, it really shouldn't be underestimated. So Emma was part of the Boundless International Congress team. How many years ago now? About 3 or 4 years ago. Time has flown. And she tells a story about how she was working in a certain venue. It was very high energy. It was a bit fast-paced, a bit wacky. And some people might even have said that it was a bit frivolous. But the point is, that team were there in the O2 with those staff for hours and hours and hours beyond the little bit that the public saw. And they ate their food together, and they messed about together, and they learnt their lines, and they made mistakes, and things went wrong with all the sound checks, and blah, 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 blah. And they were being watched the whole time by the security staff. And in the gaps, in the bits in between the bits that everybody else saw, human interactions happened. Emma would chat. She's good at chatting, you'll notice that. She chatted to anybody, including some of the security guards. And one of the security guards changed his final shift so that he wouldn't miss the last session there. I don't know how often that happens at the O2. Oh, can I have an extra shift, please, because I want to go and listen to these people. And at the end, he said, I want to find a church because I've been around you guys and I've seen the joy and I've seen the love that you've shared each other and I've seen some of the challenges that you've faced and the way that you've overcome them, and I want to know more about that. That's because he was in and around people who were living life honestly and involving God as part of their lives in that. God challenges us to celebrate. And when we sit around our table, I can tell you hundreds of stories of when we've laughed. We laugh a lot. In fact, it's one of our values, and we make sure that we laugh. We've cried a bit as well. And again, as the song said, you know, it's that balance of the two. It's being honest. Both these things happen. It's part of life. Because God wants to be in the joyful celebrations and the really good things that are going well, but he also wants to be in the everyday, mundane stuff. The packing up, the washing up, the talking about work the next day, the getting the homework done, the endless bathing that needs to happen, all of those things. God wants to be part of that too. And what we've noticed is that when you live life with God as part of your life, in all its ups and downs, somehow it's infectious. People want to know what it's about. Why is it that even though you're going through that tough stuff, you seem different to everybody else that I know? Why is it that when you make that decision, you make that decision in a slightly different way? Why is it that when you're about to face the really, really difficult week, actually you ask other people to pray for you? What does that mean? Things change, things transform. One of the versions of that Romans 12 verse 9 says, don't just love one another, really love one another. And they're just super important to us. What does it mean to really love people? When you scratch under the surface of what those words are trying to say, how does it change the way that you affect that you affect the people around you? How do you treat those people? As we talk a lot about journeying through life together, because it's not just a hit and run. It's not going and having a barbecue, grabbing somebody and rushing off and bringing them back. And I'm not saying that hasn't worked in the past. I'm just saying for us, in our context today, it's about being present with people. It's about being there for the long haul. We've been there 8 years. It feels like 2 minutes sometimes. It feels like 25 years sometimes. But we're not done yet. Because God's not done with us yet. And as long as the Salvation Army allows us to be there, we're going to be there for a bit longer. Because it's about being with people. And I look around this congregation and I see the lives that have been affected by myself. And I'm only here as a visitor. But you guys must feel that because you've journeyed with people for a significant amount of time. And the difference that can be made when you journey with people, because they truly understand who you are. And when you're having a bad day, it's not, oh man, that person's really awkward. It's, oh, they're just having a bad day. You know what? 99% of the time, they're really happy. Because you know them. So it seems to me that we have to have open tables. I think there's an app called Open Tables, isn't there, for booking tables at the moment? Open tables. Tables that we can welcome people to. Open tables that include open hearts and minds of the people that sit at the table, that are there to listen more than they are to talk. Listen to each other, listen to scripture and what's being said through the words of the Bible, and listen to God and what he's saying through those words. And I guarantee, go on, I'm going to step out in faith. I guarantee if you do that, God will use you and lives will be changed and transformed for the better because of that. So I've done enough talking and you're going to do some listening. We're going to listen to a track by Geraldine Lattie called Come to the Table. And as we listen to this at the close of our worship almost, I just want you to think about two things. Where are the tables that you sit at in your life? Physical tables, maybe metaphorical tables as well. Where are the places you spend your time with other people? And who are the people that you know that need to be invited to your tables so that they can experience friendship with you and they can experience God's love through you? So those two things as we listen to that track. Thank you.
Table, you can never get enough of his love for you.
I've talked more than I should have done. So we're going to, Ewan, we're just going to miss out one song. We're going to go to the final song. And we're going to have the worship band to help us with this song, thank you. And it's about building your kingdom here. I've seen so many amazing things, and I've heard so many amazing stories about what happens in Felix Day. But we need to be reminded that we need to keep building things, don't we? Not walls, but relationships. So let's stand, let's sing this song together, and let's think about building God's kingdom in this place this morning. Thank you. So, Father God, as we leave this place, thank you for reminding us that we are the hope. Lord God, encourage us, challenge us, inspire us, fill us up, excite us, so that when we meet people wherever we live our everyday lives, we will be able to live your word out in our communities. Thank you that you are a God of love, a God that loves us so that we can love other people. And may we always do that. May we understand what it is to be loved by you and to share that love with other people. And so as we finish, a benediction also from the book of Romans. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you the ability to live in harmony with one another. in accord with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May God bless you wherever you are this week. Amen.